Our study tonight is out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and then verses 36 to 43. Rightly responding to our apostate era's satanic planting of unbelievers among believers. The great rise in spiritual error in today's world can leave an uninformed believer confused and unsettled about his welfare if he does not understand God's plan for him in this notably apostate era. Christ gave important teaching in parable form in Matthew chapter 13, 1-52 to inform believers on how they are to think and act so that they can be settled and productive amid such apostasy. So we view it for our edification. What I'd like to do is to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at 24, verse 24. Another parable put he forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares," or that would be weeds, "among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, 'Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares?' He said unto them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said unto him, 'Will you then that we go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you uproot the wheat also with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And we skip down to verse 36. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, 'Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field.' And he answered and said unto them, 'He that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels of God. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that would do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Okay, after revealing in the parable of the sower that we covered last Sunday, that there would be a wide range of responses to God's word in our apostate era. Most of the responses tending, of course, to be negative, because you've got the hard ground, you've also got the rocky ground, you have the ground that has the weeds in it, and only the good ground, and even amongst the good ground, you're yielding sometimes 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. So the 100-fold is just the vast minority of everything that was there. So anyway, most of the responses to the word are going to be negative, according to Jesus. Well, Jesus then taught in this particular parable of the tares that we read in Matthew 13, that Satan would take advantage of these negative responses, even among believers, to plant weeds, that is, unbelievers, among the wheat of true believers in this era. In his parable of the wheat and the tares, or the weeds, Jesus explained that Satan would sow the weeds of unbelievers among God's wheat of true believers in organized religious realms. This happens in lots of areas. It happens in local churches. It can happen in Christian organizations of various kinds, schools, seminaries, that kind of a thing. It happens wherever believers tend to meet together, tend to group together. Satan is looking for an opportunity to plant unbelievers in their midst, and there's a reason for that. Satan will be able to do this since, according to Jesus's previous parable of the sower, even believers know variations in spiritual productivity due to the variations in their victory over the hard ground of unbelief, over the stony ground of human effort versus relying on God for power and living, and over the weedy ground of worldliness. Immature and carnal believers think and act a lot like the lost world. It's interesting, the Apostle Paul mentioned this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He was writing to the Corinthians after telling them that they were believers, And he says in chapter 3, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, "Brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal," that would be fleshly, "even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for until now you've not been able to bear it, neither now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" The word men, anthropoi, is the word for unsaved men. You're living just like and you're acting just like unsaved people. Well, if you have a bunch of believers who are carnal, who act a lot like unsaved people, Satan can put an unsaved person in their midst who actually may be more decent than they are, and everybody's going to think that that person's a believer and he's not a believer. It's a plant. And the reason Satan does this is because he can control his people who are not saved, and he can control them, and he will control them to use them to try to inculcate errant doctrine, errant teaching, and spread it throughout the church. That's what's happened throughout Christendom, incidentally. Well, John 8:44, Jesus mentioned to the Jews, "You are of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do." And he was speaking to Pharisees. The Pharisees were the conservatives. They were the ones that believed in the inerrancy of Scripture. That means that Scripture is without error. They believed in miracles. They believed in angels. See? And yet the Pharisees, Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil." They were unsaved. So you got to watch out. Just because a person can dot his I's and cross his T's doesn't mean that he's a believer. This satanic planting of the lost among the saved would make for trials to God's servants who minister the word. So God's servants would ask God if they should uproot and remove the lost from the saved. It's interesting in Matthew 13, verse 27, "The servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? From whence then has it tares? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Will you then that we go and gather them up?" A lot of times, pastors, such as myself, are aware, we can tell, because of situations. Like, for example, if you're with people and you see a person who claims to be a believer and you have never seen the evidence of the Holy Spirit in that person's life, and this goes on for 10, 15 years and so forth, you have almost an open and shut case that that's probably not a believer. Because if we're a believer, the Lord would be working on him, either to convict him of sin or dealing with him. But if everything just keeps going along and they just keep never give evidence of the Spirit of God, that's a warning sign. I have a relative who was a pastor for a number of years, and he was convinced, and near the end of his ministry, that a number of people in his church, a large church, he was convinced who'd been there for many years, did not know Christ as their Savior. He had never seen the evidence of the Spirit of God or God in their lives at all. They were plants. They were tares. Well, God would direct his servants not to expel the lost from their midst, lest such action harm the discipleship of weak believers who rely heavily on organized groups of believers around them. It's interesting in verse 29 what the Lord Jesus says that, he said, "No, don't uproot them, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them." There are a lot of fairly new and immature Christians who are very dependent upon the organized church around them. And if you were to uproot all unbelievers that were in the midst, that even if you knew who they were, it could be very, very traumatic for these people because they wouldn't understand it. A lot of immature believers will rely on these other people thinking that they're Christians, and they're not. And so you don't want to upset the discipling of weak believers. Now what this does is create a tremendous cross for God's servants, because they have to minister against this conflict, the spiritual conflict that they get from these plants by Satan while they're seeking to minister to the Lord. But that's where God comes in, and the believers have to, and the servants of the Lord have to deal with it. So, D says, "God's servants must therefore expect there to be unbelievers planted among believers anywhere where believers meet. And God's servants thus spiritually brace themselves for this reality without being upset or disillusioned." It was interesting today in the ministry,
There was no real conflict or anything that I got from people per se, but as a result of the adult Sunday school class this morning and the ministry of the word this morning, when I got home, I was absolutely exhausted, and the dean noticed this. I was at the table. It was hard just to stay awake as I was eating lunch. So I went and laid down. I was out, absolutely out for 20, 25 minutes in a deep sleep. And that is something that happens as a result of spiritual issues that are going on. I may not even never find out exactly what went on, but apparently there was some spirit activity here. So accordingly, for true believers and God's servants who minister his word to them to achieve spiritual stability and be productive in view of this challenge from Satan, they must heed the lesson of the parable of the sower with all the more care that they offset their exposure to Satan's destructive efforts in their midst. Satan controls the unsaved. John 8:44, Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do." And 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 is very interesting. That verse says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one," actually lies in the arms of the evil one. Satan is rocking the unsaved world in his arms like this. He's coddling it. Now, if there are unsaved people who are planted like within a church or within a school or within a seminary, Satan is coddling them. He's running them. He's working them. So that is a truth that we have to keep in mind. Satan controls the lost. So he tries to influence the lost that he plants in groups of believers to doubt Scripture. That's the hard ground. To rely on human might and indulge in worldliness so as to hinder the discipleship of believers in such groups and thus counter their testimony and effective outreach to others. This explains why false theology has come into the church, especially you look at Roman Catholicism years ago. You had the pagan mystery religions that came into the church, and they brought in the mother-child worship from Babylon, and they identified it with Mary and Jesus, and they continued that errant belief except under the name of Mary and Jesus. And that's where the Roman Catholic Church has come to err. It actually came directly from paganism, from unbelievers who got into the church. And that type of thing has happened in church history throughout. So this effort by Satan is to get people to doubt the Scriptures, to rely on human might, and indulge in worldliness so as to hinder the discipleship of believers in such groups and thus counter their testimony and effective outreach to other people. This pressure requires an effective response. And what that effective response is, that true believers and God's servants who minister to them in such groups take all the more care to counter the personal temptation in their own lives to distrust Scripture, to rely on human might. Those are the grounds, the hard ground, and then the ground, the stony ground, and to yield to worldliness, that's the ground with the weeds in it, that they might keep spiritually productive in life and service opposite Satan's influence through Satan's plants in their midst. As a pastor, I have found that I'm spending more time than ever watching my own walk and spending time studying Scripture just for my own mind, because I'll be in conversations with people, and afterwards, I'll come away from the conversation, and I'll say, "Wait a minute, that was dead wrong. That's not right." But at the time, I didn't realize it. So I had to get my own mind purged away. And a lot of times, these are thoughts and ideas that believers have gotten because they've interacted with people in the world, and they've picked up errant ideology in the world, and they've adopted it. And so I find I constantly have to struggle with that because what's happening is believers have unwittingly bought into the world, so I have to counter it in my own thinking and watch out for my own life. So in our era of apostasy, the variations of response to the ministry of the word in organized religious groups like churches give Satan an opportunity to plant unbelievers covertly, that's secretly, in such groups of believers that he might use his plants to counter the discipling of believers and the discipling work of God's servants. So Christians and God's servants who minister the word must watch that they closely heed Scripture, that they rely on God's power,
and that they avoid worldliness, that they might successfully counter Satan's work through the lost who are among them. So, may we watch how we respond to the Word of God in our own lives, for to the degree that we heed it, we rely on God's power to heed it, and we avoid worldliness, will we mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. If believers in groups experience varying degrees of spiritual victory over unbelief in Scripture, over relying on human effort versus God's divine enabling over worldliness, making it easy for Satan to plan unbelievers in such groups to counter the discipling process, we believers must watch all the more our own walk to overcome temptations to fail to heed Scripture due to pressure from unsaved people in our midst who are planted and influenced by Satan to influence us to fail here. We must thus especially watch out for bad influences of weak believers who are negatively impacted by Satan's plans. And may I also say, we need to watch out, especially if we notice that there's a believer who's struggling with the world, struggling with worldliness that is around him, or he's struggling with unbelief, having a rough time really believing the passage of Scripture to be true, or if he's struggling with really relying on the Lord versus doing it in his own might. That's a danger signal. And those are emphases that Satan wants. Satan wants us to distrust God's word. He wants us to rely on human might, not the might of God. And he also wants us to be indulged in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life in the world. He doesn't want us to avoid loving the world. So we've really got to watch out for this and be careful. It's also wise for us to keep in mind that even though at this point we may not be aware of any given specific person within our body who is a plant by Satan, we must always be on the lookout that that is a possibility, and we may not even be aware who the party is. That being the case, we shouldn't be surprised if we run into angelic conflict issues even within the body. That means that we really need to watch that we individually are in the Word of God and that we individually are following the Lord, because it's something that can really be used by Satan. Satan, he has the world out there. The world is, you know, under his control. What he really wants to do is to go after a shiny brass target. Churches like Nepog that preach the word or seek to preach the word are shiny brass targets. Every one of us are shiny brass targets, including myself as a pastor. That being the case, we need to be very, very careful that we watch. Now, Satan is no one to fear. The God who is within us, the Holy Spirit who is in us, is greater than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 4 tells us that. But what God wants us to do is make sure that we pay attention to the Word of God. Otherwise, we can really get hurt.